Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. We spoke last week about the story of Jonah. We took up the first chapter of Jonah, and I made a statement that I'm going to repeat today. Some of you may take issue with it, but I'm going to show you scripturally the truth of this statement, and that is that Jonah is the Old Testament, or an Old Testament type and shadow of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because Jonah underwent death, he underwent burial, and he underwent resurrection, and he then walked in obedience, and he preached the word, and he took the word of God to the people of Nineveh, to the city of Nineveh, and he cried out to the city of Nineveh that they were to repent. And so Jonah is an Old Testament type and shadow, a picture of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And you might be interested to know that in every book of the Old Testament, it's not just an addendum to the New Testament, it's not just some peripheral study that we undertake, but in every single book of the Old Testament, there is a picture, there is a description, and a shadow of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so as you look through, as you read through the Old Testament, be looking for the not only the prophecies, the prophetic declarations of Jesus Christ, but just in between the lines and in the types and shadows of the Old Testament characters are also we see a picture of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so I'm going to go back and read a scripture that we started with last week that Jesus himself spoke in Matthew 12, and we'll get to the book of Jonah here in just a minute, but in Matthew 12, verse 38, it says, "Some of the scribes and Pharisees answered, saying, 'Teacher,' or 'Lord Jesus, we want to see a sign from you.' And he answered to them and said, 'An evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign will be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh will rise up in a judgment with this generation and condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and indeed a greater than Jonah is here." Or in other words, a greater preacher or a greater prophet than Jonah is here. And of course, Jesus was talking about himself. But that is our key verse. And Jesus said, just as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the whale, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. Well, I'm not going to go into a detailed study of the 3 days and three nights other than to say that Jesus Christ was in the tomb 3 days and three nights. He was not crucified on Friday. He was crucified on Wednesday and was put in the tomb at sundown on Wednesday night. That Sabbath of Thursday was a high holy Sabbath of the Passover feast. And so that week there was two Sabbaths, the regular weekly Sabbath of Saturday, but there was a high day, which it tells us in John 19, there was a high day of the Sabbath that was associated with the Feast of Passover. And so Jesus Christ was in the tomb 3 days and three nights, and then he was resurrected, and he was then glorified and went to sit at the right hand of the Father. Well, in Jonah, the second chapter, we take a look at the story of Jonah again, and it tells us here, as we know, that Jonah was swallowed up by the whale, by the fish that God had prepared. And then in the second chapter of Jonah, we have this scripture. "Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the stomach of the fish, and he said, 'I called out of my distress to the Lord, and he answered me. I cried for help from the depth of Sheol," or from the depth of hell. "Thou didst hear my voice, for thou hast cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the current engulfed me, and all thy breakers and billows passed over me. And so I said, I have been expelled from thy sight, nevertheless I will look again toward thy holy temple. Water encompassed me to the point of death, the great deep engulfed me. Weeds have wrapped around my head. I descended to the roots of the mountains. The earth with its bars was closed around me forever. But thou hast brought me up, or hast brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. While I was fainting away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to thee into thy holy temple. Those who regard vain idols forsake their faithfulness, but I will sacrifice to thee with the voice of thanksgiving that which I have vowed I will repay. Salvation is from the Lord. And then verse 10 in chapter 2, then the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah up onto the dry land. Well, it's obvious to me in reading the scripture, and I'm not just talking about the story that you learned in Sunday school years ago. We all know the story of Jonah. We all, even people that don't know the Bible well, that's one of the two or three stories of the Old Testament, maybe David and Goliath and Jonah and Moses leading the children of Israel out of Egypt through the Red Sea. Those two or three stories we all know. But when you really study the scripture, you see that Jonah was dead. He was dead in the belly of the whale. He was dead in the belly of that fish because God had prepared that fish to swallow him and take him down to the depths of the sea. And it tells us here in verse 2 of chapter 2, and Jonah said, I called out of my distress to the Lord, and he answered me. I cried for help from the depth of Sheol. Well, Sheol is the name in the Old Testament, Sheol. Sheol is the name in the Old Testament for what we would call hell. It was the place where the Old Testament saints went when they died, when there was no immediate redemption for them, for the Old Testament saints, those believers who believed in God. They were not immediately transported to heaven as we are, because Jesus Christ had not shed his blood on the cross yet and redeemed them and made the way for them to be redeemed and taken up to heaven. And so there was a place, a holding place for the Old Testament saints, and that place was called Sheol. Well, the belly of the whale was Jonah's, you might say it was his earthly tomb for his body, for his flesh, for 3 days, just as Jesus Christ's body was in the earthly tomb, in the tomb that was hewn out of stone. And so Jonah was in his earthly tomb for 3 days, but his soul and his spirit were in Sheol, and he was crying out to the Lord. He was crying out in his distress. And if you have any questions about the fact that Jonah was dead, read again verses 2 to 6. And it says here in verse 6, I descended to the roots of the mountains, and the earth with its bars closed over me, or was around me forever. But thou hast brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. While I was fainting away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to thee, and into thy holy temple. And then he says, those who regard vain idols forsake their faithfulness, or forsake their mercy. Well, I want to say to you, brother and sister, if you are out there today, and some of you may be walking dead, you may feel like you have no life, you may feel like you're close to life, some of you may even have thoughts of taking your life or ending your life, some of you may be thinking about a suicide, and you may think that you have no purpose, that your life is futile, that there is no earthly reason for you to continue to exist. I say to you today that the Lord Jesus Christ cares about you. He knows your heartache. He knows your sorrow. He knows your brokenness, and he knows everything about you, every detail about you, and he is the one that can give you life. He is the one who created you in his image, and he is the one who can give you life and can raise you up from your place of brokenness, raise you up from your place of death, and he can give you life just as he did to Jonah. But it only comes when you turn back to the Lord and start to cry out to him. Just as Jonah, in his disobedience, he got cast into the sea and he got thrown off that ship, and he had sworn that God was his God, and that he was a Hebrew, and that the Lord God, the creator of heaven and earth, was his God. And so they threw him off the ship. The sea became calm. And so it was obvious to these sailors that Jonah was the cause of the turmoil and the chaos in their life. And it was because of his disobedience that this chaos and this turmoil came upon these sailors upon that ship. Well, many times we are disobedient to the Lord. Many times we run from him. Many times we are in our own will and in our own desires. We are running from the Lord, and we are rebellious, and we are full of sin. And when we turn back to the Lord, just as Jonah did when he was in the belly of the fish, and his death was staring him in the face and eventually engulfed him, it became obvious that he then needed to cry out to the Lord his God, and that's what he started to do. He said, I cried out of my distress to the Lord. He answered me. I cried for help from the depth of hell, or from the depth of Sheol. And so if you are in that place today, brothers and sisters, know this for sure. If you are in depression, if you are in despair, if you are feeling that your life is of no value, maybe people, even your own parents and people that loved you, spoke against you, cursed you, maybe even molested or beat you up or continually spoke against you and humiliated you. Understand this. God loves you. He cares about you. There's some people out there listening today to me that you don't know that God loves you. You don't feel that God loves you. Let me tell you this. He loves each and every person of his creation. He loves you with an undying and a steadfast love. His loving kindness goes on forever. And so as you seek the Lord, as you cry out to him, God knows your cry. He knows your heart. He knows your desire to come back to him. And so if you cry out to him, just as Jonah did, the Lord will hear you, and the Lord will be faithful and true to deliver you and to speak over you and to speak blessings over your life. Well, the question remains, was Jesus Christ dead? Did Jesus go into the tomb? Was he dead? And I think we can be as certain of that, because Jesus said that just as Jonah will spend, just as Jonah did spend 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale, so too shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the belly of the earth. And so in Acts 2:25, when Peter is speaking the message of Pentecost, the message to the Jews who were listening there at Pentecost, Peter gets up and said, verse 24, Acts 2:24, for whom God raised up, having loosened the pains of death, because it was not possible that Jesus should be held by it. And verse 25, for David says, that is King David says, concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, and he is at my right hand, that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart rejoiced, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, my flesh also will rest in hope. For you, O God, will not leave my soul in Hades, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You have made known to me the ways of life. You will make me full of joy in your presence. And then Peter goes on to say, men and brethren, let me speak freely to you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his body, according to the flesh, he would raise up the Christ to sit on his throne, he, foreseeing this, spoke concerning the resurrection of the Christ, that his soul was not left in Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus Christ has raised up, of which we are all witnesses. There's verse 33, therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he says himself, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. And so all that scripture was quoted from Psalm 68 and Psalm 110. Peter was quoting the Old Testament about Jesus Christ. And of course, those were all prophetic scriptures. But I say that to say all this is that God will raise you up just as he raised his own son up, just as he raised Jonah up. Whatever situation you're in today, whether you're addicted to drugs, whether you're addicted to pornography, maybe divorce is stalking your marriage, maybe bankruptcy is stalking your finances, whatever it is that your situation is today, cry out to the Lord. Seek him, and he will hear your cry, and he will know, and God knows every detail of your life. He will know that you are sincere. He knows your heart. He can see through your heart. And just as Jonah had at one time vowed to be obedient to the Lord, vowed to serve the Lord, so it is that Jonah came back in the second chapter, verse 9 of Jonah. He comes back to the Lord and he says, "But I will sacrifice to thee with the voice of thanksgiving. That which I have vowed, I will pay. Salvation is from the Lord." And then the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah up onto the dry land. And so Jonah came back to the place where he was ready to serve God. He came back to the place where he was ready to thank the Lord for no matter what came into his life. Thank him even for the fact that he was staring death in the face and that he was in the belly of Sheol. He says, "I will sacrifice to thee with the voice of thanksgiving, and I will pay that which I have vowed. Salvation is from the Lord." And so Jonah acknowledges that God is the one that can save. He acknowledges that God is the one that can resurrect us. He is the one that can raise us up. He is the one that can give us new life. And when you come to the Lord, it's called the born again experience, because you the old person dies. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Behold, all things are new. The old has passed away. And so as you seek the Lord, as you cry out to him, as you repent of your sins and turn away from your old self, your old life, your wicked ways, turn away from that life and say, "Lord, salvation is of you. It is from you. I will repay what I have vowed. If at some point I vowed to serve the Lord, I vowed to be obedient to you, I'm going to repay that vow. I'm going to commit myself to you, and I will pay what I have vowed." And salvation then is an opportunity for us, each of us, to get right with the Lord, to come back to him, to come back to that place of obedience and that place of blessing where God wants to take us and he wants to keep us. Well, in 1 Corinthians 15, we have the resurrection chapter. I'm going to close here with a couple of scriptures from 1 Corinthians 15. And many of you know this is called the resurrection chapter. And Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15 in verse 12, "Now if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty, and your faith is also empty. Yes, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. If in this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all men to be the most pitied. But now Christ is risen from the dead," verse 20, "and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all have died, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. But to each one in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterwards those who are Christ's at his coming." Well, brothers and sisters, the opportunity is for you and it is for me to know that Jesus Christ has the power to raise from the dead. If you're in a dead situation, if your life is broken, if you are just like Jonah, if you feel like you're trapped in the belly of the whale and the seaweed is engulfing you and wrapping around your head, you cry out to the Lord, because there is resurrection in Jesus Christ. There is hope for all eternity in naming the name of Jesus. All those who name the name of the Lord shall be saved, because in that name, in the name of Jesus, there is no other salvation except through the name of Jesus Christ. And I hope you have confessed Him in your life. I hope you have received Him in your life. If you haven't, take time today, right now, while this message is piercing your heart. Just get down on your knees. Say, Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins. I repent of my disobedience. I repent of running from You. I repent of the ways that I have transgressed Your desire and Your will for my life. And I come to You now. I cry out to You. And if you will do that, if you will seek the Lord and you will cry out to Him from the depth of Sheol, from the depth of your brokenness, if you will seek the Lord, be obedient to Him, come to a place where you desire to know Him more than anything else on this earth. If you do that today, God will be faithful and true to save you. Follow it up with Christian baptism. Let me know that decision has been made in your life, and I will get some materials and some literature for you to study and to read to start you on your Christian walk. Well, again, fathers, have a great day today. May God bless you in your desire to serve the Lord, in your desire to lead your family in a godly manner. And I thank you all for listening today. God bless you. Have a great week. Tune in again next week.